vegans! Good morning, vegandom!
You know, I'd rather be vegan.
It's so hard to not abuse animals.
I'd rather just be vegan. How hard is that? It's not that hard. Why is it so hard?
This is a China fall.
This is a China fall. This is a China fall. Ba 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 ba. Heck yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, vegans of all ages, welcome to the Vegan with... Hey, everybody. What's going on with my hair? See, I'm trying something new with my hair and something going crazy with it. There we go. Hey, everybody. My name's Skyjack Morgan, and this is The Pre-Shift. I'm so glad you're here. It's a new day. Today is June 6th. It's 6-6-23, and if you multiply 2 by 3, that's another 6. Think about it. Just think about it. 2 times 3 is 6. It's 666 today. So, I don't know. Take that for what it's worth. Did you know that there's an invisible war going on all the time between angels and demons just behind the cloak? Just behind the curtain of God? It's always there. It's always happening. Isn't that exciting? I think it's exciting. The stash is officially back. It's looking good, huh? Okay, but we only have 750 more subscribers to go before the stash goes away. That's the idea, is that the stash, every time we get to another 1,000, it's a milestone. It's a stash milestone. A style stone? It's a mash style stone. It's a stash milestone. It's a milestone. Anyway, at 1,000 subscribers, every 1,000 subscribers, we're getting rid of the mustache. You think I should try a mohawk? Well, I think we're going to need a lot more subscribers in order to get to do a mohawk, in order to do that. I think so. You know what's cool? So I'll tell you a little secret just for the vegans, just for the people who show up early. So We the Free, they were looking for someone to do like graphics for them, stuff like that. It's like a graphics position. And, you know, I do illustrations and stuff, and there's some illustrations in my portfolio, including this one. And it's funny because their executive director wrote me a letter, an email, and said, they wrote me a letter with long cursive writing and licked the envelope, put a stamp on it, and then put it into a mailbox, and it came to my house and said, "We sure like your portfolio. We even love the illustrations. We think they should be on t-shirts." And I was like, "They are on t-shirts. They are on t-shirts. In fact, everybody could go to veganofcourse.etsy.com or veganofcourse.net and buy one of these t-shirts with my illustrations on them, like this one that says, 'Vegans are cuter.'" Anywho, I was writing back to them, and I said, "Yeah, that's true. They are on t-shirts." They said, "We love it. Would you like to have a job?" And I said, "I would." And they said, "Okay, well, we're doing this test, and you have to do a test piece for us, and we'll tell you what it is the first week of June." And here we are. It's Tuesday, the first week of June, and I'm looking forward to it. They haven't sent it to me yet, but yesterday they sent me something saying, "We're going to send you one, a test. It'll be a test, a We the Free test." And I'm excited. I'm really excited about it, because even if they don't like what I do, it's still really fun to get involved with vegan organizations, animal rights organizations. And plus, you know, if they do like it and I take the job, if they offer the job and if I take the job, you know, all of that, it would be really exciting, I think, for the channel. I think it would be exciting just to put on my – I'll change my LinkedIn to just say animal rights activist. I think that'd be super cool. Animal rights activist rather than like video creator or content creator. I think it'd be just – I don't know. I feel like that would be like, I'm jazzed about it. I'm excited about that. The notion of changing my title on LinkedIn to just animal rights activist. That's what I am. That's all I do. What do you do? And I use all of my talents to do it. And I think that that would be really amazing. Yeah. I think that would be pretty crazy. Let's do the test for him so he gets the job. I can do the test. I don't know what the test is yet, but it's going to be something interesting, I hope. And I'll tell you what, before I send it to them, I'll send it to my Patreon so that the secret club, the core VFFs could see it and they can comment and tell me what they think before I send it to We the Free. How about that? That's pretty cool. So whatever it is, because I have no idea what the test is going to be, I'll post it first on the Patreon, and you can go to the Patreon at patreon.com/vegan, of course, if you're not already there. But of course you're there. Who wouldn't be there? Of course you're part of the Patreon. So if you are part of the Patreon, you'll be able to see the test. I just came up with that right now, and I think it's a good plan. I think that's a really good plan. You wish you were good at Illustrator? Illustrator's fun. I'm very good at Illustrator. I've always loved Illustrator more as a way of expression because so early on, back in the day, you used to have your resolution as far as DPI was so low that if you did something in Photoshop, you could never blow it up, really. Every time you blew it up, it would get blurry, and you had to save it like 10 different ways depending on how you were going to use the image, whether it was going to be on online or newsprint or in a magazine or whatever. Now everything's online, so you don't really have that issue anymore. But back in the day, it was like you had to – if you were doing pixel art, it was kind of a pain in the ass. So I decided, okay, vector art. And vector uses mathematics to take this point and this point and understand the curve between them, and the math does the rest. So you're just drawing points on a – you're drawing vectors, and those vectors are connected with curves. And I always thought, wow, that's remarkable, because I was working in this large format print shop. It was called a service bureau back then, but that's a whole other story. And you could blow it up to infinity because the mathematics would keep your image crystal clear no matter what. And I always found that so cool. So the only way to do that back then was Illustrator, and that's how I got into it. So there you go. If that's my graphic design my graphic design history for you. Little known Sky facts, if you'd like to know. Back when everyone called me Sky or Skyler, and no one had called me Jack yet. No one had called me Skyjack. Yeah. Pretty cool. I failed the push-up challenge yesterday for the first time, only did 80 because I started late and went to bed early. Forgot the last 20. That's okay. I skipped a day. Actually, you know what? I'm thinking I'm going to just skip the weekends. I'm going to do 5 days a week because the weekends I can relax and get ready for the rest of the week and recover. So I'm doing 100 a day, but I also skip the weekend. So there you go. I think it's okay. I think it's the challenge is to fit into your life. And even when I run, when I'm really running like 5 miles a day, I skip Saturday and Sunday because take the weekend off. Nothing's worth doing more than 5 days a week. I do YouTube 6 days a week. And let me tell you, that 6 days is a tough day. It's a tough day, that 6 day. That's why I need to have Lauren, and she does some of the heavy lifting for me. Yeah. 140 arms reps for June already, 2 days ahead. Wow. Nice. Vector is fun for infinite zooming. Yeah. Yeah. You can infinite zoom when it's vector based too, which is kind of neat too, because you can do those cool things where you can just zoom in, zoom in, zoom in. I've never made one of those. Actually, I did back when Flash was a thing. That's a blast from the past. Anyway, are you guys' carny tears ready? Because let's do the affirmation of the day. The affirmation of the day in this book that I am going to rewrite for vegans. I'm going to do affirmations for happy vegans. It's going to happen. I'm going to do that. That will be a thing, I promise. And it's definitely going to happen. So the affirmation of the day is, I let my purpose lead the way to happiness. Oh, that's a good one for vegans. I let my purpose lead the way to happiness. The ideas, goals, and activities that bring me joy are directly tied to my purpose in life. To feel more fulfilled, I'll simply follow the path that matches my values and principles. Dude, that is a great vegan affirmation. These guys are writing vegan affirmations without even knowing that they're vegans. See, whoever wrote this book had to be a vegan. The ideas, goals, and activities that bring me joy are directly tied to my purpose in life. To feel more fulfilled, I'll simply follow the path that matches my values and principles. Follow the path that matches your values and principles. Are you following the path that matches your values and principles? Obviously, if you follow the path that matches your values and principles, you'll have a better life. It'll lead to greater mental health. I am totally convinced that the mental health epidemic in this country is tied to the fact that we are not following our values and principles, that we are not embodying the values that we espouse, and that it creates a cognitive dissonance that creates it generates such stress in our lives that you end up kind of going a little cuckoo, for lack of a better word. Yeah. So follow your values and principles to your happiness. Your values and principles will guide you to your happiness. I like that. All right. Excellent. Good work, everybody. Let's do the word of the day. What do you say? The word of the day is... The word of the day is trenchant. Trenchant. I always like this word. I actually love this word, trenchant, because you also get like other words like tranche and things like that out of it. Trenchant. What do you think? Trenchant is such a good word. Trenchant is a formal word that is usually used to describe the communication that is notably strong, clear, and perceptive, or in other words, sharp. It's sharp. I think that Tash Peterson has a trenchant voice. That's a great word to describe Tash Peterson's voice, because when Tash Peterson gets on that megaphone, it is in your heart. I don't know what her voice is at that perfect tone that like pierces the heart. I mean, I know people get upset about her, the way she dresses or whatever, but she could be wearing a sack of potatoes. She could be in a box. Just put her in a box and give her a microphone, and I think that her trenchant voice would still cut through the hearts of the carnies. The author's trenchant wit was very evident in the critique she wrote of the much acclaimed film. Oh. Trenchant insights made eloquently by the speaker clearly affected many of those in the audience. Okay, trenchant in context. Written and directed by Tommy Lee Wallace, a longtime collaborator of Halloween director John Carpenter, the film's scares touch on ancient witchcraft and computer chips made out of Stonehenge fragments. Huh. The movie also takes some trenchant digs at TV advertising and emphasizes an odd and foreboding atmosphere over cheap shocks. What movie are they talking about? What do you think they're talking about? Are they talking about They Live? It must be They Live. No, 2021. David Sims, The Atlantic. What movie are they talking about? All right. Did you know? There's much to know about the word trenchant, but we'll cut to the chase. This guy. This author. Whoever writes this, dude, he's so good. She's so good. It's got to be a woman, right? A woman's only going to write like this. Maybe it's a man. I don't know. The word trenchant comes from the Anglo-French verb trancher, meaning to cut. Hence, a trenchant sword is one with a keen edge. Nowadays, trenchant mostly describes things that don't cut deep literally, but that are still felt. A trenchant remark is one that cuts close to the bone. And a trenchant observation is one that cuts to the heart of the matter. A trenchant observation. I like that. I don't think I've ever said that, a trenchant observation, but I'm going to now. In addition to meaning caustic and sharply perceptive, trenchant also carries a sense meaning very strong, clear, and effective that may be used, for instance, to describe a persuasive essay written with intellectual rigor. If you find yourself forgetting these edgy definitions, you might dig up a familiar relative of trenchant, the noun trench, which refers to a long cut or ditch in the ground. Yeah, a trench. Do you know my first job in the world was actually digging trenches? I was a ditch digger in this I was 13 years old and I cleaned up construction sites and I dug ditches in Victorville and Las Vegas. Yeah, that's what I did. All summer long. It was so hot. It was not a good job. It taught me to never do manual labor, and that's how I got into the service industry. Because I knew, I don't know, I had one of those families where it's like a hard day's work, you know, is the only thing a man has to offer. And so I dug ditches for a summer. And then when I was 14, I got a job working as a pizza guy, pizza boy. Ditch digging taught me a lot. One summer of ditch digging taught me a lot, you know? Yeah. Anywho, reasonable vegan's message is anything but trenchant in the eyes of the animals. Yeah, that's fair enough. Every day with the reasonable vegan using the word trenchant, using the word of the day. Yeah, the trenchant observations of Noam Chomsky still create thoughts in my head. And lately, Noam Chomsky's been making content. I've been watching he looks like Santa Claus, but Noam Chomsky's been making content again, and I've been enjoying it. I like him a lot, even though he's not vegan. He should be, but he's still a silly old man, but he's got some trenchant observations. Yeah. I like that one. What do you guys think? Do you like the trenchant? Time to dust my blinds while I watch. How do you dust blinds while you're watching? Great, that's cool. You're a better man than I. Trenchant. Do you know what's funny is that, so there's also a word called tranche, which is like your piece of a, like if you have a tip pool and your piece of the tip pool is called a tranche, and it's like your cut. And so it makes sense that tranche and trenchant and trench all means like a cut into something, like a cut into the land. So I don't know. I think I've learned something today. I hope that you have too. I hope that you've enjoyed learning with me. That was the word of the day. Today in history, so first slaves arrive in Louisiana, D-Day, and Israel invades Lebanon. Lots of invasions going on today. I don't know about this. It's going to be a wild ride here on the today in history. Gustav Vasa is elected king of Sweden. Great job. I don't know that much about Sweden. If Wolf were here, maybe he could tell me more. He's from Norway, but the Norwegians know a lot about Sweden, don't they? Norwegians and Swedens, they kind of go together like peas and carrots. They kind of go, Jenny and me, we go together like peas and carrots. Mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. French transport first African slaves to Louisiana. So in 1716, so that started 150 years of captivity. So 150 years of African slavery in Louisiana starting in 1716. Pretty messed up, right? Today in history was the first time the French transported African slaves to Louisiana. And I can't help but think, you know, God damn. It's not that long ago if you think about it. I mean, I know it's been 300 years, but 300 years is like a drop in the bucket. I mean, we do the historical thing of the day, the this day in history every day. And sometimes we're talking about stuff that happened 2000 years ago. So I mean, the fact that the French were bringing slaves from Africa just 300 years ago, it seems like yesterday, doesn't it? Seems like yesterday to me. And I mean, I guess it does seem like a long time ago too. But I guess like they probably thought nothing would ever change. And I'm in the changing business. I think that, you know, when people started enslaving animals for slaughter, people probably thought, oh, this will never change. This is how we're always going to do it. And so Sky is one of those pesky abolitionists I am a pesky abolitionist. I surely am. And I like to think that, you know, we did away with human slavery. Africans aren't enslaved simply because they're Africans anymore, at least not in this country. So I like to think we can change stuff. Yeah. The death of Yuan Shikai, the ruler of China since 1912, caused the central government to virtually collapse in the face of pressure from warlords. Yeah, this is 1916. So this basically sets off another 40 years of chaos in China until Mao Zedong. But today is D-Day. Oh, the photos from this time are so incredible. D-Day. Operation Overlord. D-Day begins as the 156,000 strong Allied expeditionary force lands in Normandy, France, during World War II. It's considered the turning point of World War II. These boys jumped off of boats and then stormed the beaches. You probably have seen Saving Private Ryan. It's depicting what happened today. Today actually was the day when that shit went down. And it's hard to believe, you know, again, something that just happened 75 years ago, 80 years ago, doesn't seem that long ago. Seems like, phew, can you imagine having to run off of this ship and just, you know, I was looking at this thing where they're saying in the West, you know, all the pleasures that we have, not pleasures, but conveniences that, like, we're not worried about waking up and having our country invading another or being invaded by another or having I wake up and I have to decide between coffee and tea, you know, I have to learn about stuff. And it's just so amazing to me that there's a time where this was happening, and there's places where stuff like this is still happening, you know, Ukraine, for example, these types of wars are still going on. So today is D-Day, and I guess, you know, we're supposed to remember what happened and the sacrifices people made. In 1982, 30,000 Israeli troops. Can you imagine 156,000 people? That's like a whole Disneyland worth of people. That's like everyone in Disneyland going onto the beach at the same time to kill Nazis. Like, because the Disneyland holds like 160,000 people on like 4th of July, like on the busiest day. 30,000 Israeli troops invade Lebanon to drive out the PLO. Yeah, that's – every time you read about Israel's troubles, you remember that they've been at war for a long time. And this, it always seems like, why is Israel and Palestine still having problems? And you're like, shit, bro, they've been having problems since the beginning. I don't know. Like, you really can't get in the way. It's been going on for a long time. Israel and Palestine drive out the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Yeah. Okay. TV sitcom Sex and the City premieres today on US HBO. So I don't know if you remember, Kim Cattrall played a Vulcan in Star Trek Part II. She did an amazing job. But 1998... I never liked Sex and the City because it always seemed like so capitalist and so consumerist, I should say. So like, oh, that pillow cost $1,000. Oh, those shoes cost $1,000. Oh, I bought this magazine Vogue because – I remember there's a line in Vogue in that show where she said that when she was young, when she first moved to New York, she had to decide between eating and buying Vogue, the magazine. And she bought Vogue, the magazine, because she felt that it just fed her more. And barf, man. All that fashion shit and like, oh, that purse cost $5,000. All that when people start talking about their bags costing $5,000, it makes me think there were people, 156,000 people had to storm the boat, have to storm the shores of Normandy. There's people dying all over the world and you're buying a $10,000 bag? Like, are you can't be serious. Oh, Sex and the City made it seem like that was acceptable. It made it seem like that was attainable. It made it seem like that was the goal, what you're supposed to be looking for. And so I've always hated that about Sex and the City. I think Sex and the City kind of made a whole generation of women who are just logo whores, you know, and just want to be, I could buy a logo and that'll be my personality. I don't have to develop a personality. Sex and the City. Randy Travis, debut album, Storms of Life. My mom always liked Randy Travis. He had that twang in his voice. Some sports stuff. Steffi Graf was 17 years old when she won the first Grand Slam victory. Steffi Graf. When I lived in Germany, Steffi Graf was still like on all the commercials and stuff. She's a huge star there. Yeah. All right, birthday. Nathan Hale, famous Washington spy. He was hanged by the British. Robert Falcon Scott. I know that name, Robert Falcon Scott. Oh, yeah, he was the South Pole guy. So Robert Falcon Scott, he went to the South Pole and died. He didn't make it. Roald Amundsen made it first. And supposedly, Robert Falcon Scott, the reason why he didn't make it was because he brought horses and camels to the South Pole. And the other guy brought dogs. The other guy brought dogs and he brought horses and camels. And the horses and camels didn't make it. They weren't really built for the South Pole. And so they all died. He died too. Robert Falcon Scott died at the South Pole. But he did make it. He made it to the South Pole and died on his way back. So I guess that's something. Yeah, I don't know. Thomas Mann, though, I have always been a fan of Thomas Mann. He wrote Magic Mountain, and he won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1929 for Germany. Yeah, I actually went to Lübeck because I lived in a place called Hanover, and I knew that Thomas Mann was from Lübeck, and Lübeck was not that far away from Hanover. It's in northern Germany, like way up northern Germany. And that's so I went to go see where Thomas Mann was from, and it was gorgeous. It had like brick, had this giant brick water tower that was really rare for like, it's just rarely rare on planet Earth. And they're crazy about mazapan. And if you have never had mazapan, it's like an almond powder with sugar, and they make little piggies out of them. They make little things out of them, and you eat the mazapan. Have you guys ever had mazapan? Mazapan? I don't know. Mazapan. Mazapan. It's kind of a big deal in Germany. Everyone loves mazapan, and it's a big deal in Lübeck for some reason. So there you go. Sukarno is the first president of Indonesia. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Sukarno. Happy birthday, Thomas Mann. Okay, Tommy Smith, though, this is what's kind of interesting. So Tommy Smith, you'll remember yesterday, he's 79 today. I think he might actually be vegan. He's a civil rights activist. He was one of the guys with John Carlos. John Carlos's birthday was yesterday, and they both won in the Olympics, and they held their fists up for like a Black Power salute, and they got so much shit, but they became civil rights leaders and icons. Yeah, this controversy and his record-breaking talent set him on the path to be not only a star athlete but also civil rights activist. But I mean, they got in a lot of trouble for it because that's not the place to do it. You know, athletes should shut their mouths. Athletes should shut their mouths. They always say that about athletes. Shut your mouth and get to running. But you hate mazapan, Bianca? Oh, that's no good. Mazapan's delish. You gotta eat just a little bit. It's too sweet for me, but I don't know. When do I have mazapan? The last time I had mazapan was probably almost 20 years ago. Anyway, Black Power salute, top of the podium. People said, just shut your mouth, but he did not. Tommy Smith, it's his birthday today. All these other guys are like, who cares? Sports guys. This guy was in Star Wars. Who cares? Famous wedding, famous divorces. I thought this was interesting because I didn't know they got divorced. Actress Melanie Griffith and Antonio Banderas got divorced today after citing irreconcilable differences after 18 years of marriage. I thought they were still together. Chelsea shows you what I know. I didn't know that they were. I don't know. I also, for some reason, thought Melanie Griffith was way older than Antonio Banderas, but again, I don't know these people very well. Okay, so famous deaths today. Robert F. Kennedy famously died today. We talked about it yesterday. He was shot yesterday in history. He died today. He is always going to remain an icon of liberalism. And I feel like the world lost a lot when he died. I really do. Gerhard Hauptmann was a Nobel laureate as well, another German Nobel laureate. He was like kind of the father of German stage stuff. He wrote Before Sunrise, Vor der Sonnenaufgang. I love that sunrise in German is Sonnenaufgang. Sonnenaufgang. And sunset is Sonnenuntergang. This is cool, though. John A. MacDonald. I only know who this guy is because we do Day in History, and he's the first Prime Minister of Canada. And so the first Prime Minister, look, he looks like such a friendly fellow, doesn't he? Canadians, they're so friendly. The first Prime Minister of Canada. Yeah, you'd think that, I don't know, for some reason I would think of it to be a painting, like we don't have any photos of George Washington. But he was born in Glasgow, and he was the first Prime Minister of Canada. He died at 76 of a stroke today, but he was born on January 11th, and since we've been doing this show, I remember John A. MacDonald. I don't know. I think that's kind of cool. I got something out of doing this, and now I know who John A. MacDonald is, and I'll never forget it. I probably will forget what his birthday is, but I know who the first Prime Minister of Canada is. John A. MacDonald. They love McDonald's there. That explains everything. Hiram Bingham was another explorer, which I think is kind of interesting. He discovered Machu Picchu, but he was an American explorer. And Dempsey was a British general. I think everyone knows. A lot of British people always talk about him. How he's like a British war hero. And Anne Bancroft was Mel Brooks's wife. And she was, that's how I know who she is Mel Brooks's wife. But she was a famous actor who was a method actor. Anne Bancroft, if you're into acting people, you know that she's one of the famous ones. But she got an Academy Award, 3 BAFTAs, 2 Golden Globes, 2 Tonys, and 2 Emmys. Is that an... Did she get an EGOT? Is that an EGOT? No, she didn't win a Grammy. But I guess if you count the G as Golden Globe, she got an EGOT. She won an Oscar, a Grammy, a Tony. Oscar, Grammy, Tony. What's that? Oh, an Emmy. And she won an Emmy. Yeah, she's got an EGOT as far as I'm concerned. Good job, Anne Bancroft. Sorry you died today. She died at the age of 73 of cancer in 2005. Well, that's the end of it. That's the end of it. That's today in history. Thank you, everybody, for joining me for today in history. I'm so glad that you're here, and I appreciate you being with me on today in history. You loved Anne Bancroft? Yeah, she's pretty cool. Anne Bancroft's pretty cool. I'm glad you see someone loves. We have at least one Anne Bancroft fan. Today she was their day of death. So there you go. But I don't know if you guys have heard, but we have another writer's strike going on. And today it is the journalists who are striking. And cheer for local news. So now we have journalists striking in America. And great. I mean, it seems weird that all of these jobs that are being replaced by AI are striking now, because I feel like, am I getting a cold? Why am I sniffing a lot? No, I think it's just, I hope not. No, I don't think so. I think I'm just getting, No, I don't think so. I think I'm just woke up weird. It's also like we've got this thing called June gloom here where I live. And June gloom is this like super gray all June long here. And sometimes it feels just like super high humidity and just kind of like bleh. Everyone thinks in California that it's sunshiny all day long every day, but June is different. We call it June gloom. We call it May gray and June gloom because sometimes May gray, it's a little bit earlier, but June usually sucks here. It's just gray the whole time and cold, and it's pretty kind of – it's kind of funny because people who don't know this area will come because they see the palm trees on the postcards or whatever, and they think, oh, yeah, it's going to be like a tropical breeze the whole time. No, it's cold and crappy the entire month of June, and it's like the rest of the year – it's almost guaranteed to be like 65 to 75 degrees where I live. But during June, it's like 60, 65 the whole time, and it sucks. It's just like dark and gloomy. So 1 month a year, we just kind of go for it. Yeah. Kind of a bummer. I don't know if you guys heard, but there's this other thing going on. The last thing I wanted to mention today was this thing happening between California and, speaking of California, and Ron DeSantis. So Ron DeSantis, I don't know if you remember, but this asshole. So they take these planes from, they take these planes that are run by these conservatives, and the governor spends millions of dollars. The governor of the governor of Florida spends millions of dollars to get airplanes to take asylum seekers. Now, these are people that cross the border. They're legal immigrants. They've applied for asylum. And because he doesn't like Mexicans and Venezuelans or whatever, he puts them on the plane and he sends them to other states, even though the people that we're talking about are in Texas. So there's people arriving in Texas, and the governor of Florida pays to have a plane pick them up and take them 1,500 miles away, 2,000 miles away to another state. So before it was Martha's Vineyard, but now it's happening between 4 and 5 times to California, where they're picking up people and they're moving them to California and just dropping them off. But that really sucks because, one, you didn't plan to move. Imagine someone just picks you up and moves you someplace else and you had no plans. You know, you have plans. Maybe you have people on the other side of the border. You have people that are supposed to be taking care of you, whatever. You have plans and someone takes you and they move you to another part of the country. But the other thing that sucks is that your meetings and everything else, all the stuff that you're supposed to be getting done as an asylum seeker, all that's back in Texas because that's where people are. That's where the bureaucracy is to take care of this. Paid for by the federal government. So the federal government pays to have these people taken care of. Are they doing a great job? Probably not. I don't know. It's probably not the best situation. They're asylum seekers. We aren't famous for taking care of people. Although America does take more asylum seekers than most other countries, we know what? They become political pawns. It's not a good situation. It's not a good system. But it's exacerbated and made far, far worse by someone, a racist piece of garbage, a racist Nazi like Ron DeSantis, taking an airplane and sending people, human beings. He becomes a human trafficker. That's what Ron DeSantis is a human trafficker. He takes them and he sends them to other states and just drops them off with no plan whatsoever. Thank you. And they have a piece of paper that says you're ordered by the state of Florida. These people were in Texas. They were in Texas. And so now they're in California and they're trying to get like faith-based organizations, the Catholic Church, the diocese and all these people trying to help to house them, clothe them, figure out what we're going to do. But meanwhile, they are thousands of miles away from home. They're 10,000 miles away from home, but they're 1,500, 2,000 miles away from where they're supposed to be. And so now they're stuck and trying to figure out what we're going to do. Gavin Newsom says that he's going to press charges lashed out at DeSantis, saying, calling him a small, pathetic man, and suggested the state could pursue kidnapping charges. I would love that, for the state of California to press charges, kidnapping charges, against the governor of Florida. I think that would be beautiful. Put it into the federal courts. Let's get into the federal courts. Let's see what they think about this. Can you just traffic human beings? Can you just traffic human beings, Ron DeSantis? He's like, this is just a rich man's version of Hitler's Germany, where you're just taking, instead of trains, they're using airplanes. We don't like these. These are the undesirables. Put them on the boxcars and send them someplace else. It's a private jet that they take and they just put them on there. It's a friend of the family. It's the, let me see, the jet's company's name is in here too. Picked up asylum seekers. The state of Florida picks them up on the Texas border, takes them by private jet to California's capital city at taxpayer expense for the second time in 4 days. So twice in 4 days he's done it. So prompting allegations the migrants were misled and catching shelters and aid workers by surprise. That's the other thing. The shelters don't know they're coming, so they can't prepare. So maybe they could actually do something if they knew this was happening, but they just dropped them off. It's disgusting to me. The officers is not naming suspects. It's not clear whether local district attorney will pursue charges, which include misdemeanor and felony counts of unlawful restraint, according to the sheriff's office. Yeah, they were unlawfully arrested. This is false arrest. The Republican governors of Texas and Arizona have previously sent thousands of migrants on buses to New York City, Chicago, and Washington, D.C., but the rare charter flights by DeSantis mark an escalation in tactics. The two groups sent to Sacramento never went through Florida. Instead, they were approached in El Paso by people with Florida-linked paperwork, sent to New Mexico, then put on private flights to California's capital. It's disgusting. Bonta, who met with some of the migrants who arrived Friday, said they told him they were approached by two women who spoke broken Spanish and promised them jobs. The women traveled with them by land from El Paso to Deming, New Mexico, where two men then accompanied them onto a flight to Sacramento. The same men were on the flight Monday. Disgusting. So fucking, just makes me sick to my stomach. To see leaders and governments of other states and the state of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis acting with cruelty and inhumanity and moral bankruptcy and being petty and small and hurtful and harmful to those vulnerable asylum seekers is blood-boiling, Bonta said in my Monday interview. DeSantis, who is seeking the Republican nomination to run for president, has been a fierce critic of federal immigration policy under President Joe Biden and has heavily publicized Florida's role in past instances in which migrants were transported to Democratic-led states. Yeah. Oh, the Verrill Systems company, which was paid by Florida to fly migrants to Martha's Vineyard, appears to be behind the flights to Sacramento, adding that migrants were carrying an official document from the state of Florida that mentions the company. The company didn't respond. Yeah. So then it goes into where the Catholic Church and everyone else is trying to figure this out. Rodriguez reported from San Francisco, Associated Press, writers Anthony Tallahassee, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah. Florida's alleged role in the arrival of the two groups of Sacramento is sure to escalate the political feud between DeSantis and Newsom, who have offered conflicting visions of immigration, on immigration and abortion and a host of other issues. So here's the other thing, though. California has a border with Mexico. California has the busiest border crossing in the world. The busiest border crossing on planet Earth is in California. And we're not taking our people who are seeking asylum and sending them to other states. That'd be insane. That'd be totally insane. When I was a kid, the governor of California sued the federal government because they didn't think that they were getting enough support for the border. And to me, that makes a little bit of sense. If you want to say, okay, we disagree with the federal government's handling of the border, okay, that makes perfect sense. I understand that. Then apply for money. say that you, hey, we're going to sue you for money, federal government, because you're not paying enough for the immigrants that are coming in, and it's your job to do so. Under the Constitution, the federal government is supposed to take care of incoming immigration, right? Why the hell don't they do something like that? But because they want to use the people, the asylum seekers, the people who are so poor and have nothing, as political pawns in their ridiculous game. And it makes me, it is blood boiling is exactly the term. If you're able to do that to people who are so vulnerable, then what will you do to others? That shows you what somebody like that thinks of you when you're on your knees. When you're on your knees, someone like Governor DeSantis will slit your throat. And this is why when people tell me, oh, well, they're all the same. Not really. They're not all the same. I don't like any of these neoliberals, but they're not all the same. Meanwhile, how is this a vegan issue, right? Well, I think that when someone shows you how they will treat the most vulnerable, that's exactly what bothers me when liberals will say, I'm so upset about how Ron DeSantis, the injustice that he has dealt out. This is a justice problem. And if you're going to treat the most vulnerable people on planet Earth in such a regard, I don't know. I'll start talking like Richard Vegan Gaines here pretty soon. You know? Or start talking like Gary Yourofsky. I just don't know what you do with someone like that who is so keen on treating people so poorly, treating anyone who has such... treating the powerless with such... I don't know. Caprice. Karina V. Sky, we literally made mazapan together. We made Mexican mazapan, which is interesting. Mazapan, I like Mexican mazapan more than I like German mazapan or Lubeck mazapan, because Mexican mazapan is made with peanuts and powdered sugar. It's super easy to make. And remember we made it and we did the shrink wrapping on the for the packaging and everything? That was really good. We should make mazapan again this summer. Maybe we should do that with our vegan cooking channel, Karina. What do you say? Should we make some mazapan? Peanuts are in season. Hey, do you host vegan debates here, or is this more vegan community for activism and collective action? Well, Sebi, sometimes there's debates, but mostly it's community and vegans hanging out. This is a channel for vegans. Are you vegan, Sebi? Let the expletives fly. I'm trying to not curse all the time. Should we teach you? I should do an episode about how to make mazapan, huh? Mexican mazapan. That would be great. I think it'd be fun. Mazapan in Mexican, they say it differently, but it's really fun to make and it's super easy to make, and it's, you could eat it all the time. It's great in the summer. Plus, if you make it yourself, you could put them in the fridge and they become like little cold candies. Mexican candy is so delicious, but it's not spicy. It's a sweet candy, but made from peanuts, and I think that you'd like it actually. Mexican mazapan is actually really delicious. I think that you would like it. They come like little hockey pucks. Mexican mazapan. Let me show you. Mexican mazapan. That's what they look like. They come in these little De La Rosa. And so, yeah, they look like this, and they're really kind of crumbly. Here's somebody made it. Somebody made Mexican mazapan right here with little cubes. But you can make them in all different little shapes. And it's not as gooey as German mazapan. Oh, maple mazapan. That sounds delicious. Ooh, gee whiz. That sounds amazing. Maple mazapan? That made my mouth water. Woo! But this is kind of the famous one, is the Mexican candy de la Rosa. And I remember Karina, when I first started dating her, she gave me one of these. And she said, if you can unwrap it, so there's this Mexican thing where the girl gives the boy a Mexican mazapan. And if you unwrap it, you without breaking it, that means you'll be careful with her heart, because when you unwrap the mazapan, it's really hard to do it without breaking anything. So you're supposed to unwrap it really carefully, because that's how careful you're going to be with the girl's heart. And I did not break it. I did not break the mazapan, did I, Karina? I was very gentle with the mazapan, and I did not break it. And look at this, almost 5 years later, and we're still together. It's a tradition kids do with their crush. Yeah. The De La Rosa. And now I pick roses for her every morning. Yeah, Bianca, the ones with almonds is the German style. The Mexican one is actually from peanuts, and it's delicious. I think you'd like, because I think you're like me, the German style, the one with almonds, the almond flavor, that it's got like that, there's like an astringency or something there that kind of like makes your nostrils hurt or something. Yeah, I think you'd like it. I did not break it. I didn't. I was very, very careful with the mazapan. Yeah, it is cute. I think it's cute AF. Vegans are cuter, guys. Vegans are cuter. All right. Well, that's our show, guys. And I appreciate your being here. Thank you so much for being here. And what else did I mention? Right. Don't forget to subscribe if you're on Facebook, Twitter, or Twitch. Please subscribe. veganofcourse.com/youtube.com/veganofcourse. And yeah, super cool. Also, what else? That's it. Oh, and if you have anything you'd like me to react to, please go to veganocca@gmail.com and send me something. Some of you have sent songs that you want me to learn, which I think is awesome. So I'm going to learn. There's two songs that I need to learn that some of the VFFs have sent. There's two new songs I'm learning. One is from the Weaker Than, and the other one is by Seal. And so I really think that's awesome, because now you guys are sharing songs for me to learn. And so I think that's great. Thank you so much. Oh, Sebi. No, see, we don't like rapists around here, so I'm sorry, you're not welcome. See, now I have to ban you. We don't like rapists and pro-slavery people, Sebi. We're against slavery here. So we don't invite non-vegans to debate. Sorry, because I feel like if you're going to debate with somebody, you have to be at least on the same understanding that slavery is wrong. You see, I can't really argue with somebody who thinks that slavery is okay, because I can't sit here and argue with you while you sit here and defend slavery over and over and over and over again, you see? So it's difficult, because if we don't at least have the same understanding that slavery is wrong or rape is wrong, you're pro-rape and slavery. You have to at least agree that rape and slavery are wrong, so that we have some kind of baseline. You need to fulfill the moral baseline in order to have a conversation with me about basically anything, because you don't have a leg to stand on. If you're pro-rape and pro-slavery, how could you humiliate anybody? You're humiliation to yourself and to the whole species of humanity. You're already humiliating everybody with two legs, because you yourself are defending rape and slavery. There's no way around it. You're a humiliation to all of us. And it really is it saddens everybody, because there's someone like you out there. There's someone like you out there who still believes that rape and slavery are permissible. So I'm sorry, but I will not be debating you, because you're a piece of garbage. Oh God, thank you for the blue hearts. I love those blue hearts. Anyway, so I really want to say thank you guys for everybody. An informed vegan can never lose a debate against a carny. It's like an abolitionist could lose a debate against a slave owner. That's exactly right, Nilf. You cannot lose. That's the problem with having conversations and debates with non-vegans, carnies, is that they're they are starting at a level that is so atavistic. It's so far back. It's like talking with a caveman. I can't have a conversation, a debate about nuclear proliferation with a person who thinks that rock make fire. You know what I mean? Like, you're having a conversation with an ancient philosophy. Like, it's caveman make good fire, knock woman head take to cave. It's like, I can't have a conversation with you about the pros and cons of Israelis' involvement in the Middle East. You know what I mean? You can't really talk about the Gaza Strip with someone who is still saying that knocking a woman over the head and taking her to the cave is a better way. Yeah, exactly. I'm a murderer and want to destroy an anti-murderer. Exactly right. It's just so foolish. I guess we're going to keep getting some of these guys every once in a while, but it's just so dumb. Ellie likes to debate the dumb ones. I know she does. She said that I'm more hardcore than she is because I'm always just banning all the carnies. Because why bother? Why bother talking with cave people? I don't need to talk to the cave people. I want to try to talk to the 20% who are actually thinking human beings. Those are the people I want to talk to. I want to talk even the ones that are like, they're just ignorant, but they are still thinking about things. Because we were all there at some point, right? But if you're just like, I want to destroy a vegan and humiliate them by doing what? Making yourself look like a fool by arguing for slavery and rape, for murder? That really won't work. Sorry. Why bother? Indeed. Debbie Grokind. Is it Debbie or Sebi? It's Sebi, I thought. All right, so I got to go ahead and ban. Let me block Sebi. Ban user and delete their comments. Bye, Sebi. All right, that's it. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. That was a fun way to end the pre-shift. I hope you guys had a good time. I hope that in the affirmation was so good today, I kind of want to look at it one more time. I'll simply follow the path that matches my values and principles. I let my purpose lead the way to happiness. I like that. Let my purpose lead the way to happiness. I think that's so great. That's what I'm trying to do, man. That's what I'm trying to do. Just let my purpose lead me the way to happiness. That's the goal. Yeah. All right. See you at 5, guys. Thank you, Anthony March. I'll see you guys at 5. I appreciate you so much. Sayonara.
It's so hard to not abuse animals.
Carnies can fuck themselves. Go fuck themselves.
This is a shout out for vegans.
I guess the last thing would be I'll see you at 5 o'clock and all of that. But also, in addition to songs, I love that people are sending me songs. I think that's cool. But since one of the goals should also be to try to do more of this cooking content people are asking for, if you guys have any ideas that you'd like to see, like stuff that maybe you don't know how to do or stuff that you just like to see me do, maybe see Karina do, because we're going to start making some cooking content and putting it up and see what happens. Maybe we'll get to that million subscriber mark. That give the people what they want. That's what I say. Give the people what they want. And so we're going to start working on that probably this weekend. So any ideas, go ahead and email at veganocca@gmail.com. And we'll make it happen. We're going to give the people what they want. Give the VFFs what they want. Yeah. All right. Where's my pumpkin milkshake video? Should that be the first thing we do, is a pumpkin milkshake in the summer? All right, maybe I've got some pumpkin, some canned pumpkin. I'll make a pumpkin milkshake video. Sure, let's make a pumpkin milkshake video. Fine, no problem. I'll do that. I'll do that. Maybe I'll do it today, just for you. It'll be the first one. I demand it ASAP. Fine, we'll do a pumpkin pumpkin milkshake video. Why not? I would think of more like a pumpkin protein shake, like a meal. Or are you talking like a pumpkin milkshake as a dessert? Because when you say it, I kind of think of it as like a smoothie, like a pumpkin smoothie. That would be something that I would take on like as a meal. But maybe you're thinking of like a milkshake as a beverage that you would drink next to a vegan cheeseburger or something. So maybe you could tell me what you're thinking on that, because when I think of it, I'm thinking about like a meal. But if you're thinking of a milkshake, piece of cake, I can do that. All right. Bye, everybody. Illegitimate non-carborundum. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Bye.